this morning is that I want everybody to kind of have this particular image in mind, which is a tabernacle type of image. Brother Jamar, can you show the tabernacle image? The first thing first is the one that's multicolored first. So that I want the people to get an idea of what I'm talking about is the other one that actually looks like cloud, God coming from the sky. That one right there, yes. I was up until about 3 a.m. last night. I could not sleep at all for whatever reason. I was looking on Facebook. All the off-the-chain folk, they were off too. I was like, there's nobody out there. Maybe like one or two preachers were out there. Talk about they still working on their message. But I actually happened to finish my message and just turn the lights down a little bit so they could see that. But I actually happened to find, finish my message ahead of time. But God kept on pressing me and pressing me and pressing me. And I was like, Lord, what do you want me to do? And so he wanted me to add a couple of things. And so what you're seeing this morning as I get ready to go into teaching mode is that this is actually the tabernacle. If you ever look inside of the Old Testament and you wonder where Moses and the children of Israel dwelled as they tabernacled with the Lord and they went from place to place throughout the entire region, or when they were in Canaan land, or as they were on their way to the promised land, what you see right here with the people down at the bottom, it looks like the outer court. Okay, or excuse me, it's the wilderness area, and that's where all the tribes of Israel are around the church. Amen. In other words, the church was the center of the community. All right, let me keep on going. Then you'll see the box. Well, on the inside of that box, that's actually called the outer court. And then after the outer court, it's not PowerPoint. Oh, okay. Then you have the a box with the outer court. Okay. Thank you. Then you have the box, which is the outer court. And that's this area right here. Okay. So this is the wilderness area. And the children, remember, the children of Israel were out in the wilderness with Moses, right? Everybody got that? Okay, that's what they call it, the wilderness. 40 years in the wilderness. And all of the 12 tribes were around there. Then you have this area right here, which is the outer court, the brazen laver. And I'm going to show you another diagram that's going to simplify it. Then inside of that box, you have the inner court. And then behind there, where you see this cloud right here up at the top, the Bible talks about this cloud being the glory of God. And it was a cloud by day. That's why you see the daytime right here. But then it turns into fire at nighttime. Okay. So that's why I want you to come alive. I want the Bible to come alive to you. Now, when we go to the scripture, it'll make a little bit more sense to you. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through 11 goes as follows. And it's in the Message translation. That first plan contained the directions for worship, an especially designed place of worship. A large outer tent was set up. The lampstand and the table and the bread of presence, or the shewbread, were placed in it. This was called the holy place, or the inner court. The curtain was outstretched, and behind it, a smaller inside the tent was set up. This was called the Holy of Holies. That's the Holy of Holy Place. So you have the outer court, the inner court, and then you have the Holy of Holies. Uh-oh. Something went on. Amen. We got it. I don't know what happened, but I guess this must be a message that I need to do. Amen. Because that just doesn't happen. Is the power off in the front? Testing 1, 2, 3. No, that box right there. Is it on? Testing 1, 2. Can hallelujah, you turn that one on?
Hallelujah.
Just make sure it's off. Set the tone.
Jesus.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Amen. Satan the Lord rebuke you. Because my stuff always works. The devil don't want me to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Amen. Because that never happens. I promise you that.
So let's start over again, because I don't want to have there to be distractions like that. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1 through 11 in the Message translation says that first plan contained the directions for worship and a specially designed place of worship. The large outer tent was set up. Okay. And that area right there was called the outer court. Outside of that tent was the wilderness area where the 12 tribes of Israel was. And this is verse 2. Verse 2 goes on to say, the lampstand, the table, and the bread of presence were placed in it. This was called the holy place. Then a curtain was stretched, and behind it a smaller inside tent was set up. This was called the Holy of Holies. Verse 4 says, in it were placed the gold incense altar and the gold-covered ark of the covenant containing the gold urn of manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and covenant tablets. So anytime you look at the Ark of the Covenant, how many of y'all remember Raiders of the Lost Ark from back in the day? Well, it had two angels on the top, and on the inside of that, it actually had Aaron's bud, the Ten Commandments, and things of that nature. So that's what that is. Now, verse 5 says, and the angel wings shadowed mercy seat. Those are the two angels. But we don't have time to comment on these now, because that's too much. After this was set up, the priests went about their duties in the large tent or the tabernacle of meeting. Only the high priest entered the smaller inside tent, and then only once a year, called the Day of Atonement or the Feast of Sukkot, the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, offering a blood sacrifice for his own sins and then the people's accumulated sins. Oh, Lord. This was the Holy Spirit's way of showing with a visible parable that as long as the large tent stands, people can't just walk in on God. Under this system, the gifts and sacrifices can't really go to the heart of the matter, can't assuage or appease the conscience of the people. In other words, you can't pay for sin. Verse 10 says, but are limited to matters of ritual and behavior. That's what we do right now, called church or church folk. It's essentially a temporary arrangement until a complete overhaul could be made. But here's the punchline. When the Messiah arrived, high priest of the superior things of this new covenant, he bypassed the old tent and its trappings in the created world and went straight into heaven's tent, the true holy place, once and for all. Amen. It'll make sense in just a moment. The title of today's message, I'm Losing My Religion. And I like it. I'm losing my religion. And I like it. And I like it. Amen. Father, help me today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me see if this sounds kind of familiar to you. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight. Losing my religion. Trying to keep up with you, and I don't know if I can do it. I've said too much, haven't said enough. Those lyrics were from a song by R.E.M. when I was in junior high school called Losing My Religion. It was a song about an individual who lost his composure when he saw the one he loved. Amen. In the spiritual world, the parallels should actually be the same. When we press towards Christ, we should also lose control of our own lives when we come in contact with Him. The more that I seek Him, the more that I find Him, the more that I find Him, the more that I love Him, the more that I love Him, the more that I worship, the more that I worship, the more that I surrender. That song, even in itself, is actually a pressing into the Holy of Holies. You could just imagine an individual who's out there in the wilderness, a part of the 12 tribes of Israel. And they're just out there pacing around with a multitude of sins, and they're wondering if God is going to strike them down with a lightning bolt or burn them up in the desert. And then all of a sudden the individual says, I need to see God for myself. And he runs through, or they run through the outer court. They bust through the gates. They knock over all the priests. They top over the golden laver. They go run through the veil, and then they in the Holy of Holies, and then they disappear. That's what it would have been like to press into the presence of God But in the old covenant, you couldn't do that. You couldn't just go into the presence of God like that, just any old kind of way. You had to have a priest that was under the old covenant. And the priest went in before everybody, atoned for the people's sins, wrote them on a scapegoat, send that scapegoat out into the wilderness to die. Jesus was our scapegoat as well. And now you understand what I said in the 11th verse. But when the Messiah arrived, the high priest of superior things of this new covenant, he bypassed the old tent and its trappings, or the trappings of religion in this created world, and straight into heaven's tent, or the holy of holies, the true holy place, once and for all. The more that I seek him, the more that I find him, the more that I find him, the more that I love him, the more that I love him, the more that I worship, the more that I worship, the more that I surrender. This, people of God, is actually progressive revelation, or revelation, or the unfolding of God before our eyes. Amen. The disrobing, if you will, of Christ before his disciples. When the children of when the apostles were there, as Jesus was getting ready to do the Last Supper, and Jesus began to disrobe himself, Peter said, "Well, Lord God, you don't have to do that. You don't have to wash my feet." As he began to disrobe, began to wash Peter's feet, he said, "No, you don't have to do that." And Jesus said, "Well, if you don't wash me, if I don't wash you, you won't have any parts of me." And then Peter said, "Well, wash me from head to toe, Lord." Jesus disrobed himself before the disciples. He unfolded himself in the most intimate of settings. And to truly see him, one must move beyond religion into a relationship with Christ, one that grows, that's sacrificial, that's transformational, that's eternal. You don't have to have questions about whether God exists if you're saved. If you're saved, then God has purposely revealed himself to you, and he has transformed your heart. Whenever you've had an encounter with God, you can't just turn away from him. When you're truly saved. Now, if you're saved, if you don't feel anything, then you may not really be saved. Because whatever's in the Father's hand, no man can pluck out. You can't fall away when he has a grip on you. You can backslide, but you won't fall away. You can do wrong over and over and over again, but in the back of your mind, you're like, man, I need to get back in church. I see guys on Facebook right now that's all in the street right now talking about something. I need to get back in church. They're in the backslidden state. They're saved and they know it. They know that there's a pull coming from somewhere. They may try to resist it. They may try to fight it, but they come back to the Lord anyway, because God is married to the backslider. Let me move on. Matthew chapter 13, verses 8 through 23 in the New King James Version begins to give us another illustration of how an individual should press into the presence of God, going from a state of religion and then to a state of relationship. Because the closer you get to God, you begin to lose your religion, and you should like it. Oh, man, you'll get it in just a moment. Therefore, as it says in verse 18, hear the parable of the sower. This should be a very, very familiar verse of scripture to many of us. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. Now, let's freeze right there. For those two verses, that actually symbolizes the outside of the tent where all of those people were. Amen. Put up the graphic on the screen, Brother Jamar. And this time, use the simplified one. Use the simplified one. Okay. Now, you see that white area where it says the tabernacle of Moses, and it says the entrance gate, that area on the entrance gate. I'm not talking about the E. I'm talking about on the outside of the E to the right hand side. That was the wilderness part. And so when you read the scripture, when you begin to understand the scripture, you need to understand that the sower, when he sowed seeds, remember, God is the sower, and he sows seeds. The seeds is the word of God. But when you sow seeds to unbelievers, it's like you throwing popcorn to a fish. They ain't going to eat it. Amen. So now, keeping that graphic up there, because I want you to hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone enters or hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away, what was sown in his heart. This is he who received by the wayside. Amen. So that's the white area. The devourer comes up and gets the word. That's like you preaching to an atheist. They don't even get it. It's like you preaching to a religious person and they don't get it. Both of them have the same heart because both of them deny God inwardly. Externally, they're different. Inwardly, they're the same. All right, let's go to verse 20. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. I heard the word of the Lord. I heard the preacher talking on the Sunday morning. And then all of a sudden, I'm going to bridle my mouth. I'm not going to cuss out the young lady that's always looking over into my cubicle, seeing whether I'm on Facebook or not. I'm just going to hold my peace. But then somebody sends you a text message while you're in there in the office and you're trying to keep it together. And this text message sets you off. And then all of a sudden, the word that you once heard, it no longer applies because you just got too much going on. I'm doing me at that moment. Don't judge me, though. Amen. Which is one of the worst, most unapplied verses of scripture that you would ever see, not only inside of the church, but also outside of the church. But I digress. Notice how it says in verse 21, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, he immediately stumbles. This would be the outer court mentality. So you have the wilderness. There is no word out there. And if it is, it's like the man who is in the middle of New Orleans, in the middle of Bourbon Street. And he has Jesus as Lord on there and he's preaching his guts out. But people are looking at him with beer anyway. Talk about do you want some too? That's out in the wilderness. Then the inner court. That's when you set foot into the area of the church and you're in the building, but you're not of the people. So now the outer court mentality. Amen. So that's what we're talking about, where you hear the word of God, but it doesn't take root because you know you got too much other stuff going on in your life. Now, verse 22 says, now he who received the seed among thorns is he who hears the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. This is when you've been blessed, but now your blessings are choking you out. This area right here is the area right here, the holy place. You see that part right there? It says the holy place. Everybody see that? Okay, so you were wilderness, outer court, inner court, which is also called the holy place. Outside of the church, you finally made it to church because you done begged you, or he done begged you 45 times. Now you're in the inner court, the most holy place. In other words, you're doing a little bit of praise and worship now. You're coming a little bit regularly, but you're not quite there yet. So you have level one, level two, level three. Let's look at level four. Notice what it says in verse 23. But he who receives the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and, watch this, understands it. Who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. In other words, you saved and now you're going to produce a result. So you go from being out there and off the chain. Let me go ahead and get this. So you go from being out there and off the chain. Then you're inside of the house of the Lord, but in the inside of your heart, you're still off the chain. Now you're in here. Your brain is getting a little bit more into it because now you're hearing the word of God. But then this place right here, the Holy of Holies, this is where good ground comes. This is when you're saved for real. And then you'll produce either 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And the focus of today's teaching is how we're going to produce 100-fold, not just 30 or 60. Yeah. Amen. So the scripture that I just read to you, the one that Jesus spoke about himself, illustrates the four phases that a believer moves through or actually presses through. Watch this, people of God. He presses through level number one, unbelief. Okay. So the first level is unbelief. All these folk around here, man, you know, I'm doing my thing. You know, I'm out here in the world and whatnot. And then all of a sudden, I remember what Mama said. Mama said, Jesus loves you. Something pricks my heart. I don't even know. You know, thugs don't cry. Let me go ahead and go to this church. Step two. Now you go from unbelief. Now you believe in a little bit of something. Now it's physical belief. Well, I'm here, ain't I? I'm in church, aren't I? I made it. I haven't been here forever, but I made it. Don't judge me. Physical belief. What is physical belief? Physical belief is when you look like you are into God from the outside in to the undiscerning eyeball. So you go from step one to step two. Now you go from physical belief to mental belief. So you go from not believing at all to showing up to thinking about it. And now you're thinking about the word of God because you don't listen to the preacher. And now some dreams are starting to pop up. You're doing what he says do. Now the blessings are starting to come. Your voice is beginning to change. You're getting into the word of God for yourself instead of listening to world star hip hop or plies. Okay, let me keep on going. You put on your head instead before you go to sleep the scriptures. You're thinking about some things now. You're feeling some kind of way as you lay down. Unbelief. Physical belief, you just showing up. Mental belief, this is where the big battle is right here. That's the battle. That's when you worshiping and you praising, you trying to understand, but that text message of that crazy man or woman keeps on coming through. Or when you get to the house or what happened last weekend is on your mind too, and they're competing with each other. So you went from not believing to showing up to thinking about it, and then you press into the fourth area. That's where good seed is actually sown. This area is called relational belief. So you go from unbelief to physical belief to intellectual belief to relational belief. So now I'm in the most holy place. Now I'm there, stark naked spiritually, stark naked mentally. I not only show up, but I'm getting ready to watch God show out in my life because I'm basically allowing for him to take control of my life. But there is even areas that you have to go in even when you're in the most holy place. Because remember, there's 30, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and then some 100-fold blessings that are up in there. Now, let me give a disclaimer. This is not a prosperity message as it relates to finances, because a lot of times people get that in there and try to twist that piece up in there. But what this is actually talking about is you getting into a most holy relationship with God, even though you're not holy. Now, before I go further, you need to know that there is progressive revelation that one has to have when an individual truly gets saved. This same progression is seen in the Old Testament tabernacle. When you get saved, you go into the wine press. This is what happens when you get saved. Something supernaturally happens in the atmosphere when you basically say, Lord God, I give my life over to you. Because before you were out in the wilderness and the devil was just beating up across your head because of religion, tradition, and ignorance. He was just getting you. You basically had your hands behind your back and you were on his side when you were out there. But now you're no longer out there. Now you're in there with him. Now you're saved now. Now you can't quite get away with anything. Now you start seeing scriptures everywhere. Now when the man starts talking to you, before you didn't listen. But now you begin to listen. Now that heart's starting to change. And now you kind of bridle your words a little bit. Something is happening on the inside of you. But there's a further pressing that you need to go as well. Because inside of that most holy place, there's the Ark of the Covenant. There's the incense that's going up. And then there's what's inside of the box. Amen. 30, 60, 100-fold return. Now I'm going to show you something right now that's going to help you with this 30, 60, 100-fold. We're going to lose our religion, hopefully, this morning, I pray. Amen. So go to the chart that has different categories. Amen. You might want to dim the lights just a tad little bit so that people can see. Now, this particular chart that you see right here is a chart that shows you the 30, the 60, or hundredfold. It may be offensive to a couple of us that have been raised up in church for a little while, but I promise you that if you get it, you'll go from just being a traditional churchgoer to somebody who really has an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, one that is fulfilling, one that really means something, one that really will touch your heart. So notice this right here. Those same levels, there was four levels altogether. The first one, you don't believe nothing. You don't feel anything. You out here with the rest of the world. It's a couple of different categories that a lot of believers go into. The first one is the liberal Christian or the unbelieving Christian category, where you do a lot of community service because it's the right thing to do. But the Jesus stuff, you'll leave that to the side. Community service Christian. I love Jesus as far as feeding the hungry and clothing the naked, but that's it. That's not even on the board. You're not even saved. You're just a good person category. All right. Then you go to the first level. This first level, or the first one, the very first column, it actually intertwines with the Passover. The Passover was a type of religious form of fashion where people atone for their sins. The Passover lamb, the Feast of Pesach. The Passover lamb was there to where when the sins of the people were there and they were rampant, God says, I want you to take the blood of a lamb and I want you to put it on the doorpost. Actually, it was on the inside of the walls of the door, signifying that the blood shouldn't just be on you, it should be in you too. Inside of the doorpost, not on top. It was actually inside of the actual borders of the door. That same particular Passover is the time when they took out the goat and they sacrificed the goat and they wrote the sins of the people into the goat and went into the wilderness, and then it was consumed by the wilderness, just like Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days. That Passover, that's the first phase. Now, who are these 30-fold saved folk? What category does it fall into? Remember, we're going to lose our religion this morning. Well, these particular individuals are usually your fundamentalists. Your Baptist preachers. Amen. I grew up as a Baptist. But the thing about it is that this is what you would call in political circles evangelicals. Amen. And in this particular realm, as a former Baptist myself, they actually focus on the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. He died, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. They have an out-of-court form. In other words, they're there, and they're doing the things of God, and they're saved, and they see what's going on inside of the house of the Lord, and they're evangelical. They're preaching the gospel. They're doing this, and they're moving forward. They also see Jesus as Savior. They have a 30-fold mentality. In other words, they have enough of God. I remember even coming up in church to where I figured that you were more reverent if you didn't move at all. Amen. It doesn't take all of that. Amen. If you don't come to my Baptist convention, I'm not going to come to your church and preach neither. Amen. John the Baptist had his head cut off. The Baptists and other fundamentalists only focus on the external, or just the baptismal activity, or the external baptism. In other words, you go down and you come back up the same. But once you're saved, you're always saved. But you don't press any further than that. These people are usually traditional. They believe in justification, just as if I had never sinned before in my life. I commit sin, it's okay. I'm justified. I'm good. The grace of God will cover me. I got a cigarette flipping around my mouth right here. I'm justified. I'm a drunk deacon. I'm a preacher with a jerry curl and the microphone is all the way down here saying, ain't the Lord good? But I'm saved though. I'm transformed though. In this particular example, these individuals, they consume Christ and are consumed by him. They love Jesus. Don't get me wrong. This is what you call the first wrong. This is the area that's on the outside. This is the outer court. In other words, as long as you look holy, A lot of people, and one of the main reasons why the Baptists, as well as a lot of other mainline denominations, the Pentecost, not the Baptists, but the Presbyterians, the Lutherans, all of those in the same mainline denominations, why they're decreasing is because they only have 30% of God. 30% revelation of God. They're saved, but they can't go any further because of tradition and religion and ignorance. Loving people, still going to heaven, but not getting all of what God wants. Their spirit is redeemed. They focus on water baptism. They love children, and they're the children of the house. In other words, they're at the very first level. They focus on the way. The way to Christ is through Jesus Christ. You saved, you go down in the water, you come up, you good. Sit down, give me your offering, let me take the roll, get into a particular auxiliary, and you're good for the rest of your life. But a lot of times in this particular day and age, a lot of people don't even go to those type of churches anymore where you have the Hammond B3 organ. You got all of the men sitting behind, eyeing the women. Okay, well, I'm just preaching really good. I'm busting up some tradition a little bit. Amen. And we were common with that. We had the pews at my old church back in the day. I used to chew the pews while the preacher was preaching. I took these two teeth marks and I used to dig into the pews because I was so bored. The choir was going on, and everybody always teases me when I do this. There was a lady about this wide that had ankles this thin, and every time she got the Holy Ghost, they fanned her down. Now, here's the thing about that. Why would they do that? Isn't that the point? Because a lot of times in certain traditional churches, the Holy Spirit is not allowed because that's the flesh. You focus on the scripture, but not all of what God said as far as the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. They see the kingdom. Now, if you were to go to that tabernacle of meeting where you see the clouds in the sky and all of other stuff like that, they're in the outer court and they see God, but it's at a distance. It's like me looking into that back corner. I can see it, but I'm not there. I can see God. I even see some churches. There's a particular church to where every now and then the man of God, knowing he's in the Baptist environment, he tries to speak a tongue. The spirit comes out a little bit, but I can see all the deacons looking at him like this. You better not do that, or we'll vote you out. Amen. I've been tempted many times to go ahead and get a part or be a part of a traditional church where I could just pick up a church. How do you pick up a church? First of all, where I want to pick up a church, take a church in St. Augustine, take a church in Jacksonville. You know what? They place you there. You get your salary. But remember, if they hire you, they can fire you. Okay. That's the first level. That's the 30-fold blessing. Someone say press. So now we're pressing from beyond that. So we already not even talk about the community service Christians. They'll go to a 5K run, but they ain't coming to church. Amen. You can get all the tattoos that you want. You can serve beer. They're still not coming to church. They're coming to your community service events, and they're not going to show up to your church. That's the wilderness mindset Christian. They think that they're good as long as they feed the hungry, clothe the naked, but that's all that they do. Out of court. Out in the wilderness. Then you have the out of court Christians. Fundamentalism, evangelicals, most of the time in the political scene, they focus on gay marriage, abortion, religious freedom. That's it. The political circles call them evangelicals. A lot of times when you all say y'all church folk are so hypocritical, those are the individuals that most of the time you talk about because they have a form of godliness. They look like they're God. They're physically holy. But on the backside, or when you go behind the doors, you count the monies with the deacons. The deacon got a 45 on the table. Talk about you better get all of it right. I don't know where y'all been. Y'all okay? Well, y'all just been sitting in the pews. But let me keep on going. Second level. Someone say second level. So now we're going from Passover, where it was ceremonial salvation. Ceremonial baptism. 30% God. But now, if you're like me, you done moved to the second level. You go from Passover to the Pentecost mindset. And it sounds like a mighty rushing wind. the house was filled with the Spirit of the Lord. And then all of a sudden, tongues were filled with fire. They had an upper room. They had an upper room experience. This particular area right here is the charismatics as well as the Pentecostals. They focus on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with any of this. But you can't say that that's all and don't go any further. They have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Our scripture, Joel chapter 2, verse 28 says, and there shall be, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see. It was all there. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. We are in that dispensation right now where your sons and daughters will speak the word of God. They focus on the holy place. In other words, they pressed from out in the outer court, and now they're in the inner court. They're in the inner court. They're not just having a form of godliness, but now they're thinking Christians too. Does this make sense? I'm a Berean Christian. I'm searching the scriptures to see if the man or woman of God is where they need to be. They believe in Christ as the anointed one. Whereas in fundamental Christianity, they look at Jesus as Savior only. He's Savior. That's it. But there's no miracle. There's no signs or no wonders. When have you ever gone to a fundamentalist church and you've seen the laying of hands or the speaking or the uttering of miracles or the speaking in tongues? You don't. They don't allow it. Still can go to heaven, but you have to look at the whole Bible, not just one aspect of the Bible. Remember, John the Baptist had his head cut off when Jesus came. It was one tradition, and even as great as John the Baptist was, he had to be cut off for the one that was coming greater. I baptize you with water, but there's one that's coming after me that will baptize you with fire. Pentecostals, they're right here in this area. 60-fold. They doubled up a little bit now. They've got they went beyond just traditional means, but now they focus on the outpouring of the Spirit. They focus on sanctification, whereas before you would just justify. I'm saved. And even though I do wrong, I'm still saved. But now it's sanctification. Now you're thinking about holiness now. Now it's gone beyond just me being saved. But now I actually want to do right behind closed doors. You see the difference? Before, Jesus saved you. It doesn't matter where you did that or not. That's why you had a drunk deacon. That's why you had somebody smoking cigarettes after church. That's why you had a 4-5 on the table. That's why you had a Jerry Crow preacher. And the only advice they had was make sure you don't sleep with all the women in the church. Try not to sleep with all of them. But as long as you were saved, you're good. Y'all church folks see you nothing but hypocrites. That's because a lot of people were stuck in that 30-fold area. That's where a lot of that come from. But now you go into holiness area. Sanctification. Now I don't want to be just saved, but I'm being saved. I'm actually reducing my flesh. I'm being crucified with Christ. And now I'm consumed with Christ. Where at first I would consume Christ, but now I'm being consumed by Christ. I would take a little bit of Jesus, take a little bite as a traditional person. Let me get a little bit of church here, a little bit of church there. Come here at Christmas and Easter only. Little bites. That's why they call them cookies. You take a bite of each. Well, and then you go to sanctification. Now I'm sanctified. I'm listening to the songs. I'm listening to the word of God. And I feel something stirring on the inside. I'm consumed with Christ. My soul is being renewed. I believe in the Holy Spirit baptism, not just water baptism only. Now it's not only the washing of the cup of the outside, but it's also the washing of my soul on the inside. I now go from being just a child of God to being a son of God or a daughter of God. I go from just understanding the way to heaven, but now I understand the truth behind why I should go to heaven. At one particular point, I saw the kingdom, but now I'm entering into the kingdom. Yes. You get it? Yes. Amen. And now we got to go a little bit further. Someone say press. Press. Now remember, there's the wilderness where the seeds were sown, you preaching. They hear you, but they ain't listening. They keep on walking by. The first level, Jesus saved you. I'm good, but I have a 30-fold anointing on my life. Second area, I'm filled with the Spirit. I'm sanctified. The holier, the better. Holiness is right. The napkin is on the head. I'm preaching. The napkin is on the head. Come out. Purge. All this stuff. Evidence of speaking in tongues was the primary signifier that you were truly saved. But how many of us know that there's some tongue-talking people that are not saved? Lord have mercy. They have the, I can't even do it. I'm pushing all that religion out. Now, some people are sincere, but a lot of it is not sincere. What they do the... People are showing off and they got the thing on them. They just doing all the movements. I'm like, okay, that looks very practiced. Because whenever you're with God, God doesn't just do the same thing over again. It's always different. So when it's authentic, you can tell. Oh, Lord. We would like to welcome you to Divine True Christian Center. God wants your dreams and visions. I'm losing my religion. And I like it. That's why the church world picks on specific things. First lady of the Kojic church, you got a hat about this big. First lady of the Baptist church, you got a hat about this big with two flowers on it. First lady of the non-denominational church, she don't wear no makeup, no nothing. They'll preach it. First lady of the Pentecostal church, you just have a napkin on your head. And if that's funny to you, and you identify with it, that's because you've seen it before. Lose your religion and keep on pressing. Go from seeing the kingdom to entering the kingdom. Go from just doing a form of godliness to actually understanding the sanctification process and being consumed with Christ. Go from just being baptized on the outside where you go inside of the water and then you come up the same to going down in the water and you come up differently because you're not only clean from the outside, but you're also from the inside. But there's another level. Someone say another level. So now you go to the third area. This is the holy of holy areas. I like to call this category the come suffer with me area. Lord Jesus. This is the area for the remnant church. This is the area to where things happen and it transforms your life in such a transformational manner until you can't stay the same. The first area was 30-fold. The second area was 60-fold. But now there's the 100-fold. This is very few. This is the remnant. Now you go from the feast of Passover to the feast or the time of Pentecost, the upper room experience, and now you have the feast of tabernacles. What is this? The feast of tabernacles. Some also call it the feast of trumpets. But that's when God is calling. He said he shall come back with the sound of a trumpet. This is a time of revelation. This is the focusing on the second coming of Christ. Jesus is coming soon. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready if he were to show up today? I put this on my Facebook page a little while ago. Let me see if I could go to it. And I was just talking about how everybody was just doing this. I'm so this. I'm so Duval. I just went ahead. I didn't want to do sentences. I just got all of mine out all in one big giant paragraph. But then I got to this one particular section where I was talking about I'm so saved. And I said this. Trying to press to the 100-fold, the total anointing of God. I said, I'm so saved. That when I was lost in the world and felt like giving up, I found out that God sent his only son who died and was buried and rose again on the third day to extend his grace and mercy to me, even though I didn't deserve it. He forgave me of all my sins, gave me a new outlook on life, and I know that if I died tonight, I would be with him forever. Yes. Hashtag secure. Safe in his arms, Jesus saves, Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. Amen. Pressing, press to his presence, press to where God is. The further you go in God, the more religion you lose. The more you go closer to God, the less you try to look like you have it all together into actually being with Christ. Amen. You go from having an external platonic relationship with God to an intimate relationship. You know, that's what platonic relationship is. That's when you are an acquaintance with the individual, but they don't really know anything about you and you don't know anything about them. We have to go from having a platonic relationship with God. We have to go from just being saved to really having a revelation of him. So it goes from the Feast of Tabernacles. They understand that Jesus Christ is coming and that the second coming is evident. When you look at Israel, when you look at the Gaza Strip, when you look at all the turmoil, when you look at all the Muslim nations that are surrounding around about that particular nation, and it's the only free area over there. When you see all the stuff in the news about Syria, when you see same-sex marriage, when you see all this other stuff where you have 2.0% of the population controlling the 99%. That actually say that my skin color is the same, therefore I can't say anything about it. Oh, Lord. You got to be careful. Because there's some people in this world to where atheism is growing and it's getting larger and larger by the tome. And some people will say, well, you know, you don't need to believe in the white man's religion. But what's happening right now is that they were never Christians in the first place. They were actually, many of them were atheists. They never believed in the word of God. And they used it to enslave others, but they left from it because they never believed in it in the first place. So that's why you see rampant atheism popping up in the predominant culture, because they never believed in the first place. But God had a plan. God allowed for that particular thing to happen so that individuals could really find out about the purity of Christ when you read for yourself. My skin color is not the same thing as a sex act. That's what you say when you're a person or an individual that has gone to the third level or into the Holy of Holies. You preach truth and love, and you don't care about the consequences. You preach truth and love, and you don't care about the membership fluctuations. You preach truth and love, and you don't care if somebody's up or asleep. You preach truth and love. They focus on the Holy of Holies. Inside of the Holy of Holies, there is the actual tabernacle area where you have the Ark of the Covenant. The angels are presiding over what's on the inside of that Ark of the Covenant. The Holy of Holy areas, that's where God's glory dwells. That is beyond the veil. Remember, the scripture says that when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was torn from top to bottom. And now we can go boldly go before the throne of grace. And now we could talk with him for ourselves. And our lives are changing. People should be able to tell that you are saved, not just by what you say, but by what you do. It is anti-hypocritical. When you are saved, you can't do whatever the ham fat you want. So you go from just being an evangelical, you go from just being a Pentecostal or a charismatic, or just looking at the charisma, or just having the outside manifestation of miracles. You have churches that are set up with signs and wonders and miracles every single weekend. But that is not right, and it is not accurate, and it is not true. And you're breaking people's hearts by them throwing money at the altar thinking that they're going to be healed from cancer, but then they die the next day. You thought that they were supposed to pay for a blessing, which is like a Catholic doctrine in itself, where you have to have penance. You can't have penance. You have grace. And God extends it to the individual freely. You can't buy God. He blesses you whether you deserve it or not. You can't earn your way to heaven. He receives the child of God. Let me move on. So we go from just being into the Holy of Holies, where we see that there's intimate worship going on. The incense is going before the Father. Anytime you read the scripture, it talks about that there's incense going inside the nostrils of God. And it's like when you pray and you worship him in sincerity and spirit and in truth, it's like a sweet smelling savor up in the nose of God. That happened in the Holy of Holies. It didn't happen with the world. The world was outside of the tent. Everybody was stank out there. Everybody smelled bad. You couldn't even tell. And it's getting so to a point even today to where the world and the church are looking so close to each other. What's the difference between you and me? God loves everybody. He does. But there's still a heaven and there's still a hell. You go from Jesus just being your savior to Christ being the anointed one. And now God and Christ is now Lord and King over your life. He actually is governing you. Trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your path. That's when God is Lord and King. Where your words line up with your life behind closed doors. You know the reason why I respect off the chain people? Who off the chain, whether I'm in front of them or at their house or at church, is because when they get saved, they'll probably be the same when they're in front of me or at the house or inside of the church. They're keeping it real. They're not trying to fake. But it's the hypocritical people. The ones that like to say, church folk, church folk, church folk, church folk, don't do this. But if you're hypocritical, you say you love God, but then you don't pay the bills. Hey, man, I ain't going to even go there. I'm going to keep on moving. Hundredfold. They go from just being traditional Christians to being spirit-filled. But then when the spirit fills you, you go from being spirit-filled to being spirit-led. I'm being led by the spirit to preach this way this morning. I'm being led by the spirit to get down on my knees in the middle of the night. I'm being led by the spirit to preach hell is hot. And you're going if you don't get right with God. It is unpopular. Amen. It is unpopular to talk about such hot button issues inside of the house of the Lord and even outside. You'll be crucified. Ah, you'll be crucified for it. Because now you're in the hundredfold blessing of God. You go from justification to sanctification to glorification. You know the difference? When you're justified, you just saved. But broke down, busted, and disgusted. You there every Sunday, but nothing's ever happening. You still the same way when you get to the house, but at church you quiet and you all goody-goody. But you know that there's two different lives. The next level, you spirit-filled, so now you're trying to get your thought life and your private life together, but you can't just dwell on that, just the filling of the spirit, because even though you're full, you get empty every now and then. Amen. So you go from just trying to get yourself right to glorifying God. Glory to God forever. So now I'm saved. I'm sanctified. Now I'm filled or being led by the Spirit. And now the reason why I'm getting my promotion is not just for my household. Now I'm getting my promotion to bring glory to God. Maybe the reason why you won't become a millionaire, maybe the reason why you won't get the better job, maybe the reason why you won't have the better relationship is because you won't give glory to God when you get it. Amen. When I'm at my job, I put all my Bible stuff right there, and I put on my wall, I put little scripture things inside of my, I'm invading the culture right there. Because I want to give glory to God. It, you go from just being about you to being all about him. And you serve to his goodwill and pleasure. You go from just consuming Christ or being consumed with Christ. But now you become with Christ and you are now a part of the consuming fire for Christ. In other words, you have a fire inside of your bones. I've been so angry in the spirit for the last 2 weeks and frustrated and irritated in the spirit for the last 2 weeks with all the stuff going on in the media. Terrible news everywhere. It seems like it's relentless. But then God talked to me just last night. He said, son, it's propaganda. Propaganda is when you try to prop up something to make it seem like it's true and it's dominating everywhere. How can you have a 2% or 1.7% influence 98% and have the money to back it? And you have the urban community that has been pushed to the side for this smaller community that is driven by perversion. Oh, I'm preaching really good. Where they're looking for rights for sexual sin versus rights for the skin I'm in. Oh, Lord. spirit-led. Glory to God. Consuming fire for Christ. So I had to say something. You ever been around an individual that had to say something? It just got to say something. I got to say something. The reason why you don't understand and can't hear God is because you're not saved, young man. You've been in church for a long time. You're at the house right now. You don't want to have anything to do with a pure church. You know what drives hypocrites away? Purity. When you don't have a hypocritical church, then you got some folk around there that'll be kind of nervous. You know what? They the same at the house. There they are when they're in church. Oh, man, I can't be around them because I don't want to be exposed. So our growth rate has been the way that it is, not by accident. We're the remnant. We're going from being spirit redeemed to being soul being renewed to being up to our body actually being glorified. It has gone from being a water baptism to the Holy Spirit baptism, and now we have a baptism of suffering. I was suffering for 2 weeks on vacation, suffering. Going to the movies, suffering in my spirit because I see what's going on in the world and I can barely sleep. I finished my sermon early last night and I didn't go to sleep until 3 a.m. I was like, God, what do you want me to say to the people? What, Lord? What? I'm tired, but I can't go to sleep. And I didn't do nothing wrong. I'm trying to figure out, did I do something wrong? I'm exhausted right now. But it's the baptism of sufferings. Come suffer with me. So you go from just the outside cleanliness to the inside cleanliness. But you can't just stop there. Because when you're clean on the inside, now you got to glorify God. And whenever you give glory to God, you're going to suffer for it. I already know that there's going to be a point in time where all the YouTube messages where I talked about controversial stuff is going to be played back to me and I'm going to get excoriated for it. But because I know that, doesn't mean I'm going to stop preaching. Hey, amen. I have nothing against Joel Osteen. I have nothing against light messages, but that just isn't me. I can't do that. I want to bring glory to God. So then there's the baptism of sufferings. And then when you press into the presence of God, you just go from being a bastard, which is you're not a part of the Father at all, to being a child of God, which is the first level, to knowing, to being a son of God and a daughter of God at the second level or in the inner court, to now you become a father. That means that there's maturity. Now you're training others in the faith. You go from following the trail to blazing the trail. You're now going from last. Remember, the last will be first and the first last. So now you go from last and now you first. You got all the heat on you. You up under the spotlight. The heat is on you. They're talking about you in the comment sections of the Orlando Sentinel. And you just as happy because you're suffering with Christ. Ah, I've made it. You've made it. They talking bad about you. They done slandered your name. Folk ain't giving all this other stuff like that. People got attitudes. They at the beach and you at church. And if you say something, they ain't coming back. Suffering. Why would somebody want to suffer through that? Who would want to preach under these circumstances and situations? But when you're enveloped or enveloped by Christ, it's like a badge of honor. So you go from being a child of God to being a son of God to being a spiritual father or a spiritual mother. You go from understanding that the Jesus is the way to understanding that Jesus is not only the way, but he's also the truth. But he goes from just being the way and the truth, but he's also the life. In other words, you live a life like Christ. You go from seeing the kingdom. I'm outside of the church. I drive by Divine Truth Christian Center. I see the kingdom. Now you're inside of the doors. I'm entering the kingdom. But I can't just show up to church. I have to inherit the kingdom. Yes. When you inherit the kingdom, that's when you're truly blessed. You're blessed even in your suffering. You don't have a job, but the money keeps going. The marriage looks like it's on the rocks, but you're standing on the rocks, so it outlasts the others. When you look at certain types of TV shows, it turns your stomach. When you say particular types of words, you try to hold your peace. When you get ready to snap somebody upside the head at Walmart, you hold your hand down and you say, you know what? God is greater. God is stronger. The Lord, you are higher than any other. Instead of cussing somebody out, you begin to praise God. Amen. You press it, press in your presence. I'm pressing my way into your presence. I'm losing my religion. Yes. And I like it. The present to the presence of God is something that is so important. And as I come around the mountain, I believe all of us should lose our religion as we get closer to God. The closer, the better. The more that I seek him, the more that I find him, the more that I find him, the more that I love him, the more that I love him, the more that I worship, the more that I worship, the more that I surrender. Now remember, people of God, that there is a difference between good religion and bad. I'm not finished yet. Don't play yet. Because I don't want the young people to get this thing called religion bad. Have you got good religion? Certainly, Lord. Have you got good religion? Have you got good religion? Certainly, 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 Lord. But there's a difference between bad religion and good religion. The Pharisees and Sadducees demonstrated that by focusing on human activity and tradition and ignorance, that was bad religion. Notice what James says in James chapter 1, verse 26 through 27. And it's in the King James Version. It says, if any man among you seem religious and bridle not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain or is worthless. In other words, they're saying one thing, but believing and doing another. It's not about guilting or condemning you to love God. It's not about guilting or loving you, those that are watching. It's not about you feeling guilty and they make you feel so bad, so now you're going to come to church. That's not what it's all about. Amen. Who wants to serve an abusive father, an abusive pastor, an abusive ministry to where you feel bad, so that's why you show up? Versus you, the reason why you show up is because you glorify God. Yes. And you want more of him, not more of them, more of him. It's about owning who you are with Christ. It's about owning who you are without Christ. It's about owning the triumphs and the trials. It's about owning the mistakes as well as the Messiah. You're pressing towards his image and likeness, pressing towards the sun. See, here's the thing. When you press towards the sun, you keep on going until you can't see yourself. Have you ever noticed when a rocket ship goes up into the sky and it seems like it's going towards the sun? And because the light of the sun is so illuminating and so bright, the closer the rocket gets to the sun, the more it begins to disappear. To where you don't even see the rocket anymore. You don't even see the entity. But the further they go, the more that they disappear. If you can still see yourself, then you're far away from him. But then when you can't see yourself anymore, and the closer you get to that light, now everything is naked. God, I can't hide anything from you. When you get close to God, when you get so close to God, you are keenly aware of all of your flaws. It is like you're hypersensitive to all of what's going on with you, and you know what God says about it, that it's opposite to that. And you're very uncomfortable when it comes to that because you're so close to it. Because here's the thing, the Holy of Holies is a very small area. It's not a big place. It's not 30,000 seat area. It's not 120 seat. It was about the size of this stage. And it's you and God. Now, you know, God is like bigger than the entire universe. And it's like you and him there and y'all in an intimate setting. You can't get away. No matter which way you go, every part of you is being seen. You're naked. If you go this way, he's there. If you go that way, he's there. When you back up from him, he's there. You can't get out of the box because he's in the box. And it goes from a level of being uncomfortable to being one with Christ. It goes from a time of suffering to a time of reigning. Now watch this, verse 27. And now I can get out of here. Verse 27 says this. Now notice, I gave you the difference between bad religion, but here's good religion for all those people that said, well, religion is the scourge of the earth. Yes, bad religion is, but look at what pure religion is, or good religion. Pure religion or good religion is this. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's what good religion is. Amen. You see nothing about going to this church, bending down, praying to the wall, praying on the ground, praying in this direction, that direction, having white gloves, having a name tag, none of those different types of things, practicing different types of dances, having Kawasaki, Honda, Ibaba. So you don't have to do all of that. That's not contained within that. It says to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and keep himself unspotted from the world. That's it. So how do you do that, Pastor Martin? Well, here's the revelation behind that. Number one, the fatherless. When you visit the fatherless, it really means that you're going out or you pressing towards or you're trying to minister to those who don't know the Father. Amen. The fatherless. How many people do you know don't know God? They don't know the Father. That's what good religion is. You go try to visit people who don't know who God is, who don't understand the Father. The next up is the widows. Well, who are the widows? Well, those are individuals that are the church but are not married to Christ. You missed it. Oh, I'm trying, Lord. I'm trying. What is a widow? An individual whose partner has died. Who is a widow? An individual that does not have a wife or a husband. We are the church. Christ is the bride. There's some people who are widow and we're to visit them. Some of them understand that they're the church, but Christ is dead to them because of what has happened. There's some that love Christ and love his word and love who he is, but they're dead to the church, so they don't want to go there anymore. They just have Christ at their house and they consume him at the house. But we're supposed to visit the widows, those who have a partner that is dead, so that they can be revived and now they could get remarried again. Then there's the afflicted. These are those that are hurting in pain, those that are bruised, those that are lost, those that are suffering in religion. I see so many people suffering in religion. They're stuck in a pew somewhere, waiting for their turn to preach. They're stuck in the pew somewhere, knowing that they read the scripture that says that you could dance before the Lord as David danced, but you better not do it or else you're out of here because that's blasphemy. They're stuck in religion because they don't want to speak in tongues because God did not give them that. And when they read the scripture, it says that when you speak in tongues, you're supposed to do it in private or else you're going to confuse the people. And they see the contradiction. They're like, okay, but I see you doing something different. Okay, I can't even dance like that. My knees hurt. I see all these photos on Facebook where people are saying, I'm praising God and I'm worshiping God, but everybody's doing the same thing. That's religion. It's practiced. Anything that you do for too long is a religion or it is a tradition. Holiness is right. But there's more to it than just that. Losing my religion and I liked it. But then there's a last category. Because you notice that verse says, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, how in the world can you keep yourself unspotted? Like to hear it go. The unspotted are these individuals. These are those that have flaws. They got thorns in their side, that thing that they can't pray away. They got issues, but they love God. They don't try to get away from him. They know that they've inherited the kingdom, so they know that they can't live without him. They embrace his grace and the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. Remember, he's coming back for a church that is without spot or wrinkle. In other words, the church has to be perfect. But how can you have perfection with so many imperfect people? Jesus will never come back in that case. So how in the world is Jesus Christ going to come back for a church without spot or wrinkle? When the church understands that they're clothed by the righteousness of God. When you're in the righteousness of God, Christ is perfect. And when the whole church understands grace and that they're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ and they don't have to do something in order to get on his right side, then he'll come back. Lord God, I'm not perfect, but I'm righteous because of Jesus Christ. I'm suffering with him versus without him. These people are the ones who have lost their religion and they like it. They are the crucified ones. They have taken their cross. They're walking around with it, knowing that they'll be hung up by the same thing that they're carrying around, a burden. If you have a burden for the children, you may be crucified by those same individuals. If you have a burden for feeding the hungry and clothing the naked, you might be crucified by the same individuals. If you have a burden for ministering to individuals that have sexual sin or they're trying to come out of homosexuality and perversion and pornography, you might be crucified by those same individuals. Sheep bite too. They bite. People bite when it hurt people. But if you have a burden, you have the fire inside. You got to do it anyway. You're not to throw anybody away. You need to minister to them despite the circumstances. I don't have enough money. You minister anyway. They're not giving because of what you preached last time. Give it. Pray and press your way anyway. It's about glory to God. Come on, stand on your feet. My charge to you this morning is to not just be a religious person. To where you just get a bite of God every now and then. Let me get some church this Sunday in. Let me schedule myself in to get a little church in. Are you out of your mind? You don't just bite off a piece of God. You can't commune with God just one time and then be good. I'm good for the rest of the year. The devil never pumps the brakes. Through the religion, press through practice, form, and fashion. Press through what you think church ought to be, and become the remnant, the called out ones, the redeemed, the ecclesia. Ecclesia means the called out ones. You don't go to church, you are the church. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 16, and this is the end of the matter. Paul was saying this to the Philippian church so many years ago, and he said this, and I believe this is how you should feel as you begin to press towards the hundredfold or the total full counsel of God, the full gospel, if you will. Verse 12 says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things, past the first level, second level, all the other stuff. Or that I have already reached perfection. I'm talking about me here. He's speaking right now. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Know, dear brothers and sisters of divine truth, online, in the house, or around the world. Pastor Martin, like Paul, has not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we have already made. We go from faith to faith and glory to glory. You gave one amount this year, you increase the next year, and you keep on going because God has blessed you, and now it's all about Him. You go from being somebody who's just receiving the blessing to one that's giving the blessing. You're now a conduit for it. Amen. I couldn't feed everybody out the back of my car, but Lady Martin and some of the other individuals in this place set up a feeding program, and that's what I end up doing. I was a conduit. Sometimes I didn't feel like going. I was tired. Taking bags. And I'm like, these people are not even coming to church. Oh, my goodness. They're not doing it. Then God rebuked me and said, oh, son, it's not about you anyway. Get your butt out that van and give them the folk that food. And stop complaining. And so I just get the food, getting bit by mosquitoes. Thank you, Pastor Martin. And I just feed them. But then all of a sudden, God said, let me go ahead and show you something. Young lady inboxed me and said, Pastor Martin, and mind you, this young lady, she wouldn't what you call a person that would go to church. She's tattooed from the flow up, even on her face, earrings everywhere. But God said, you choose her to feed the people. You could say she was like Mary Magdalene. And I take the food to her, sometimes up into the 40s, as amount of dinners that we have to give out in that community. And she puts them in the back of her trunk and she goes all throughout the neighborhood. She know everybody all up in there. And one time we went to this individual's house because I had to meet her at a different place and not at her house at that moment in time. It's a known area where there's drugs and people drinking and boozing and whatnot. I've been in that area before. And there was this woman that was sitting on the couch kind of just looking at me and looking at what we were doing. Looking at me and looking at what we were doing. Didn't say too much. And then after we left, the young lady put a post out. Now, it had some cuss words in it. But she said, man, I can't believe that my girl, sister so-and-so, was helping the whole community like this. We have food, but just the thought of being able to help some other people in this community, that's the bomb. A couple more cuss words. I'm so happy for her. And then she replied back, she said, Pastor Martin, I have tears in my eyes because you allow for me to be able to minister to these people just like that. I don't even know why, but I thank God for you and for what you're doing. God has a strange way of convicting you with a thank you, or convicting you with appreciation when you don't think nobody's looking, because that's what I have in the back of my brain. Lord God, ain't nobody seeing none of this stuff. I don't got no photos. Nobody care. Nobody will give a flip about me. Ain't nothing. I can't post this on Facebook. I'm too tired to pull my phone out. I can't even get in my phone because I can't remember the code. But God says, whatever you do in secret, He revealed to it openly. Keep on pressing, people of God. You may look to your left seat, to your right seat. You may not see nobody around. They're out there. There have been 497 folk that have come through Divine Truth Christian Center. 497, Lady Martin. I don't even know where they're all at. But that lets me know that we've touched lives. Continue to touch lives. Be encouraged, all right? Father, we thank you. We worship you. We love you, Lord God. We pray, Heavenly Father, that whatever stage that we're at, that we continue to press towards the mark, the high calling, which is Christ Jesus. Let us press through religion. Let's press through ignorance. Let's press through tradition so that we may reign with you, knowing that suffering is a part of the job. Let us be strengthened where we are, Heavenly Father. Let's speak truth to power. Let us be a voice crying out in the wilderness of this world. leading those that are fatherless and that don't know the Father to you. Leading those that may be a part of the church, but they're widowed now. They're dead to Christ, or they're dead to the church. They're not married. Let them know, Lord God, that they can't unmarry themselves, that they're married is sealed in love. For those that are afflicted, bruised, or lost, that are hurting right now on the sound of my voice, I pray, Lord God, that you touch them and that you heal them. And encourage them, Lord God, to not get tired of doing right. Don't go back out there. There ain't nothing out there for you. And Father, thank you for allowing for us to be unspotted before you, because we are the righteousness of God. Our righteousness is of filthy rags, but Lord God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who shed his blood on Calvary on that fateful day over 2,000 years ago. The blood never lost its power, and we thank you, Lord God, for showing us how to press into your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I wouldn't want to close out this time of worship, and before we start giving, without saying this one thing. I told you that sometimes people have a zero amount of blessing. They're out in the wilderness just doing community service, no relationship to Christ. Then you have the first level, that's 30-fold, second level, that's 60-fold, but then the 100-fold. How can you be completely consumed with Christ? Well, that means that you have to die totally to yourself. You won't be 100% anything. You won't be 100% in your glorification to God. You won't be 100% dying to yourself until you pass from this life into the next. So my sister, my brother, the way that you get to that 100% is that you keep on living until God takes you and receives you once you pass from this life to the next. That's when you'll become totally whole and you receive the 100-fold blessing. The 100-fold blessing is eternal life. That's to be with him always. That's when you get all of God without any consequences. That's when you have all of God and you're not hurting in your body. That's when you have all of God and all the memories of the past while you were on this earth, they will be gone away. You'll never die again. You'll always be with him. You can sing songs. You'll see the relatives that love God too. And you'll be like, hello, how you doing? Nice to see you again. And you can then say, I'm perfect in Christ, because now I'm in my glorified body in heaven. So be encouraged, people of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and put your hands together as you take your seats in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Are you ready to give? Let's try it. Oh, Lord. Y'all look like y'all got shot by two pigs. Y'all ready to give? Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and give. We're coming to our close of the summer. There's a lot of people that are on vacation as well. I want to send a shout out to Don Davis and Tamisha Davis. They went to the chapel and they got married. Amen. So we want to bless God for them. We also want to send a shout out to the Hardricks as well. They were worn out from the wedding that they also had this weekend as well. So we want to bless God for them. Whenever you see a lot of weddings, that's a good thing. That means God is moving. All right. All right. Go ahead and get your seat. Get ready to give. Be blessed. Father, we thank you for this time. We worship you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Consider yourselves dismissed from the house of the Lord. Oh, Celebration Sunday. I'm sorry. Celebration Sunday. They got their events rolling up and whatnot. We missed one person going out the door, but we'll get it together. All right. So go ahead and play some music, Brother Jamar. Don't leave me out there. I could do something. All right, there you go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have... All right.
Oh, here we go. We cannot forget about Celebration Sunday. Because Celebration Sunday is a time where we celebrate if you have a special event or a birthday in the month. Amen? So we are going to say happy birthday on July 1st to Kelly Rosado. Come on, let's give her a hand. Next we have, on the 7th, Miss Allison Rivera. But you got to do the dance. There it is. Amen. And then we have, on July the 9th, Mr. Aubrey Jackson. Come on up, baby. Then we have on July the 10th, yours truly. Amen. Then we have on July the 19th, where is she? Come on up, my sister-in-law, Regina Martin. Woo, you gotta dance. She said, oh, no, 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 not today. Then we also have on the 19th, Ajaya Perry. Come on and give him a hand. Amen. And then we have on the 28th, Jaslyn Barty. Let's give her a hand. She turned 2. Is that it? Is that it? Amen. So let's give it up for the July birthday. Oh, that was sad. Let's give it up for the July birthday. Amen. You can cut. Amen. Amen. In case you don't realize what we're doing, we are celebrating those that have either a birthday or a special event during the month. I didn't get a chance to introduce it for our newcomers, but we want to make sure that whatever day that God has placed you on this earth, we want you to know that it is a special day, and it is a day that God created you, and he created you for a purpose. So in case no one else in this world celebrates you, we want you to know that we celebrate you. Amen? Amen. Come on and stand to your feet. And look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God wants your dreams and visions realized. Amen. Be blessed, people of God.